You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Try to, you know, make plays as much as I can. And that's what I, you know, that make good decisions. And, you know, I try to make a play at the towards the end, I think, in the fourth quarter. Made one earlier in the drive, and then it was third and long again. And, you know, trying to make a play. Mike Hilton did a good job of getting in front of Kenny. Really was trying to throw the wheel, but it slipped out when I was getting hit, and it sailed and it's going towards Kenny, and Mike Hilton made a good play. But, you know, we can kind of consider that as a punt, because if he would have dropped it, we would have probably punted it from the 50. So, yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, just trying to make plays and trying to do something to make a spark for this team.
Yeah, they were leading by one at the time that he threw the interception. The interception was not that big a deal. Although you would love to pad a lead, wouldn't you? And they did get the ball back there in their own end, and then they just ground out a drive, another long drive.
It was actually a big interception because they never got a sniff of the other half of the field, I think, the rest of the game.
Because their last possession.
You scored, and that's a tie at the end of the game.
Well, you didn't know, though, that the Steelers would go on a 40-play, 80-minute drive.
Well, you should have. No. You should have known. You played the previous game. You had the same thing happen. Oh, no. They hit big runs, actually.
The defense. Now, the defense hasn't been the huge problem. Okay, so in the second half, out of halftime, and they go 12 plays, 62 yards, 506. Then they go three and out. This is where the Texans, I know, the Texans are still leading in this game. I mean, that Bill O'Brien keeps on, well, we were second. You can't do anything when you're second. No, you weren't. You were second and five, and you were second and seven, and you went three and out. You weren't second and 26. You weren't second and 16. You were second and five and second and seven. What the? I mean, this is not. How about doing something in a 1-point game? That's bull. The last series. Yeah, the last series. You were in second and 11 and second and 15. Okay, or second and 21 in the last series. So, but.
Why don't we expect our team to make plays?
How about the Texans with a one... Listen, field goal. So it's 21-20. Then they go... it's a field goal. They go 21-20, right?
Right.
The Texans come back, a three and out. Three plays, 6 yards. Three plays, minus 7 yards. And then eight plays, interception.
Uh-huh.
That's their second half. Then three plays, 0 yards. Four possessions, crap. Yeah. Nothing.
How does that happen after the first half where they look so good?
Uh-oh.
I mean, honestly, how does it happen other than the pressure was different? The pressure was scalding in the second half. The offensive line, the tight end, Darren Fells, God almighty. This is three times that Darren Fells has been beaten for sacks or plays that pop up on at least on – you know the Tyrann Mathieu one. He got beat on a chip yesterday by T.J. Watt. Didn't get a body on him. He got beat on a pass protection yesterday. As the big tight end, you have to at least engage and do a decent job against the rushers when you're asked to. Or the Texans are going to have to stop looking at him to make those blocks.
They do. That was one of the things about him was that
I know.
He's an offensive tackle player.
I know, but the problem is he hasn't been. No. He's been getting beat. Those situations.
Well, let's face it, he's a year older now, too.
Yeah, but I mean, pass pro, he should be, like, he's not moving his feet. He's not staying square. It's technique issues for him. He has to block a better technique. Mike Devlin's got to do a better job. No, actually, the tight end coach has to. So, I don't know, man. I don't know how you look so good in the first half. I mean, you marched right down the field at the end of that half. I didn't think you had enough time to I thought maybe they get a field goal. They got a touchdown. Randall Cobb showed up for a couple of catches yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
He actually was physically alive. Not really Will Fuller. Not so much Will Fuller. He was pretty much a non-factor.
He did catch a touchdown pass.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That was his touchdown catch.
Anthony is here. What's up, Anthony? Hey, Ant.
Morning, guys.
How you doing?
Best show. All right. I want y'all to join hands with me and I say a quick prayer about the Texans. Lord, Father, God, please let Bill O'Brien get fired before week 8. Lord, Father, God, let Deshaun Watson know that he has to carry this team and actually run the ball. Lord, Father, God, let the McNairs wake up and realize they made the worst mistake they ever did by making Bill O'Brien have all the power in the world. Lord, Father, God, please let Bill O'Brien choke on a cake like Joffrey did.
No.
Have a blessed day. I'm out.
No, it's actually poison. That wasn't it. He didn't choke on a cake.
He didn't choke on cake. He was poisoned.
It was actually cake.
I mean, it was
Lord
pie.
Joffrey, but
it wasn't cake. It was pie, and it was a pigeon pie, and it was a little dry. And he wanted
That was more than a little dry.
He didn't choke on the
when his eyes burst out.
He didn't choke on the pie. He was poisoned through the wine.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Remember the pigeon pie was dry. He asked for more wine.
Yeah,
and then he died because of that.
Yeah,
was the wine poisoned or the pie?
Elena Tyler poisoned the wine.
Well, I mean, choke on a pie is something, but I don't want to see him choke on a pie. I just want to see. You can keep on. Okay, amen. He was. I've got to respect his prayers. I don't know if anyone is going to step in on the fired by week 8. I don't know if anyone's going to step in and do that.
If they go 0-7,
that's the break.
If they go 0-7 now.
You see, you didn't think there was a record that could get him fired, but once you start feeling it, all of a sudden it feels like there's records that could get him fired. But they are going to take a big loss financially, paying out his contract.
Well, wait a minute. We're burying the lead. We got playoff baseball starting tomorrow at 1:00, taking on the Minnesota Twins. The Astros are in the playoffs, coming charging down the stretch, playing their best baseball now.
No, they didn't charge down the stretch.
Yes,
they have a losing record.
Wait a minute. That doesn't matter.
We haven't even mentioned the Astros playoff starts tomorrow.
Tomorrow at 1.
At 1:00, and then the game 2 is at noon.
Just because they've lost 4 of their last 5.
Do you see where tomorrow's game is? What channel?
No. What channel is
that? I'll give you 10 guesses. You won't get it.
True TV.
No. That was the NCAA tournament.
I'm going to guess.
I'll give you no TBS.
The Home Shopping Network.
No TNT. No Home Shopping Network.
Oh.
No Fox. No Fox Sports. No Fox Sports. No Fox Sports 1.
CBS
no Fox
1.
Sports 2.
CBS
no CBS.
Sports.
No. No ESPN. No ESPN 2. I've now named 9 places. It's going to blow you away.
It's going to be on True TV.
ABC.
Now what now?
Yeah, it's on channel 13
at 1
at 1:00. Yeah. And I guess it's I don't know, maybe
cuz the Astros.
Maybe the stories aren't on fully yet.
Oh, they're going to be pissed off the stories people.
When people's stories are off, but people's stories are off.
No, Jeopardy canceled. Is going to be the Jeopardy people?
Yeah.
Wendy moved the Jeopardy and she said, "Holy crap, the Jeopardy people are
Jeopardy people are like
violent.
Gilbert. They're like Gilbert, you know, they're locked in."
Yes.
It's on ABC.
Holy.
I would have never guessed ABC. How the hell is it ABC? They're on ABC at 1 and then ESPN the next game. So ESPN, they're on ESPN 2. ESPN 2, game 2.
Have you?
At noon, 1:00 on ABC tomorrow.
Have you been able to check out Kenta Maeda?
What do you mean check out?
I mean, have you seen? Obviously, he's pitches for the Twins,
his numbers, you mean?
His numbers. You're a numbers guy.
I am a numbers guy.
So
I haven't seen
guess what his strikeout to walk ratio is?
3-1.
Higher.
6-1.
Higher.
8-1?
8-1.
Ooh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's
He's given up 40 hits in 66 and two-thirds.
Japanese
his whip
pitcher?
Is 0.75. That's who you get in game 1.
Oh, he's putting together a season.
Yeah.
He's putting together a Cy Young season.
Yeah, he's pretty good. 2.70 ERA. He's
32.
He's 6-1 on the season.
Golly, his numbers are good.
Really good. He's really, really good.
He has given
but the way the Astros are just, you know, knocking it around the park, I don't see any problem whatsoever.
Well, he can't pitch three games.
No, but then they come back with Jose Berrios.
Berrios stinks.
Yeah. And then Michael Pineda.
He stinks, too.
Hmm. Okay. All right.
Who would you rather see, A's or Twins? I thought we'd rather see the Twins.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean that's nice. It doesn't mean there's anything good about it when you've lost four of your last five and you can't hit worth a bleep. You had one game where you scored 12 runs. Otherwise, you score a run a game.
So Berrios has a 4.0 ERA this year, 63 innings pitched, 57. He's not so good on strikeouts to walk, 68-26.
No, Berrios you can hit.
And then Pineda is, he's got a 338. His innings pitched to hit are about equal.
He's got a 1-2.
What's up with Rich Hill?
It's going to be Pineda.
I mean, Rich Hill's having a better year.
I know.
But Pineda is, I mean, Rich Hill's also 40.
Yeah.
Can you believe Rich Hill?
You don't want to throw that.
Still pitching at 40.
Lefty against the Astros. They'll destroy him. They'll put up a two spot.
He'll destroy him and put up a two spot. They do have a little better bullpen than the Astros.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
It's just
well, now, though. Well, it'll be interesting to see. I have not seen. Did McTaggart come out with their rotation?
Let me see.
I mean, that is the biggest secret in baseball.
I think it comes out today.
That's the biggest secret in baseball. Who are the Astros going to throw? Jackie, did you see? I mean, Jackie follows everybody. Nope. I have not seen anything.
There's nothing yet.
Nothing yet. It's going to be Greinke, one. Then it'll be, who's second? McCullers or Keedy or
I think it will be Fromber and then Urquidy.
You think so?
Well, McCullers actually, I don't know. How are you going to get McCullers
out
of there?
Still on the road.
How are you going to get McCullers out of there?
He's still on the road. I mean, I don't care what he's done lately. He's just terrible on the road. I don't know. If you start McCullers in game two, Greinke is game one for sure. What you do in games two. Are you sure it's ABC?
Yep.
Because there's no TV here.
100%.
I got ESPN2 for
game
two.
I saw it
two.
On the official. It is. ESPN is game two. ABC is game one. ESPN2 is game two.
Right.
ABC is game one.
Right.
McTaggart's got it, too. It was on the official release that the Astros sent out.
How about that? On a Tuesday?
1 o'clock Central. Yep. And game three is to be determined. They got to see.
Yeah. If there is a game
three. If there is a game three. Remember, this is a three-game series. You better throw your two best in the first two games. And it's Greinke. And then it will be interesting if they go with the short sample size of Urquidy, the great stuff of McCullers, or the consistency of Fromber. And Fromber's the guy that he lets pitch the longest.
Well,
Dusty loves him some Fromber.
And doesn't it depend in large part how the Twins hit lefties?
How the Twins hit lefties?
Yeah.
Who are you going to throw? Well, you're talking about with Urquidy.
Well, right. You throw Urquidy or
right.
Fromber. If they struggle against lefties. I mean, you know that Dusty's a numbers guy.
I think Dusty is a numbers guy based on the stuff given to him. And I don't get the sense he is actually a numbers guy.
No, he's a numbers guy. Remember, because Springer was running a lot, he had an inside-the-park homer, so he had to sit the next day because he was probably going to get hurt.
No, he had one of those trackers on, and Dusty monitored those really closely.
Catapult.
And he noticed that.
Wearables.
What color was his urine, though?
Well, that's a Herman thing.
That's a Herman thing.
Speaking of which, we got to talk about that huge win by the Longhorns.
Oh, you just want to ignore LSU?
I knew they were going to. Listen, I've been saying it all offseason.
Gave up 600 yards passing.
623. How in the world that's a 17-point favorite against anyone when they have a whole new team is ridiculous.
That was a joke.
It was terrible. I mean, that was easy, easy, easy money.
Leach just coming out with throwing 600 on LSU, broke the record.
Did you see what he said
KJ
after the
Costello.
Game?
I know.
He said, like, well, I think he said something along the lines, well, the Ravens and the Chiefs and, like, the Packers had, or the Patriots had people in their schedule, so I guess we just had to play LSU. I'll find the exact audio. It was right. He did it on CBS after the game.
So they were already scheduled to play. So they had
all those other teams had people on the schedule. It felt like
playing Oregon State defensively, same kind of secondary.
That's a compliment to LSU, right?
I think it was a shot at saying, hey, I know it's a big bad SEC and you didn't think my system would work here, but we played them because those other great teams weren't available.
Right. You could take it too that he's saying.
But it wasn't a comp. You should have seen. I've got the audio right here.
All right. We'll do it on the other side. But first,
let's talk about Core Med Solutions. So, what's your heart health like? There's a good chance you're going to tell me, oh, it's fine. I don't feel anything. That's so ridiculous. With Core Med Solutions, one of the things that they can do, or the primary thing they do, they actually have a pediatric cardiologist and an adult cardiologist, and Dr. Burkhold, and he can read your heart results with the echocardiogram, the EKG, the stress test. You can get the entire thing done, and it can read how the wiring is in your heart, because that's something you could think you're just fine, just like Hank Gathers. He died on the court because of a wiring issue in his heart that could have been caught by pretest. And that's one of the reasons that young athletes should always get checked out. You should always be checking out your young athlete. It doesn't matter what level they play at. Once you start adding the level of heart rates, when you start elevating the level of heart rate, that can become a problem if you have a congenital issue, if you have an issue that is hereditary. And they can even do hereditary checks with you absolutely free through another company that they have access to check on the hereditary condition. And of course, they can tell you exactly what's going on, whether you have myocarditis after a bout of COVID. No matter how old you are, no matter how asymptomatic you may have been, you can get myocarditis. They can spot that. They can spot enlarged hearts. They can treat you, and they can get you right. They can even take their business on the road with their mobile units and do an entire business. So if you are like UPS or the garbage connection, I think that's a name, waste connection. They did their entire businesses, brought their mobile units out, and checked out their entire staff. CoreMedSolutions.com, CoreMedSolutions.com.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
Guys, this fall, as you get back into the swing of things, Bespoke Post has brand new seasonal box of awesome collections for guys. It's guaranteed to upgrade your life. Really cool stuff in here. Whether it's gear to upgrade your autumn craft beers, you've got cozy clothing and threads for when the temperature dips. Bespoke Post only sends guys the best stuff every single month. That's why it's called Bespoke. No matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered, from style and grooming goods to barware, cooking tools, outdoor gear. Really, really awesome. Tell you what, I love the Weekender bag right now, which is part of the Box of Awesome. Or how about this one? The Layers is something that you can get with flannel shirt, and it's brush flannel. They've got boot socks to match as well. This is your opportunity to get started. Take the quiz at boxofawesome.com. Your answers will help them pick out the perfect box for you. Each box costs just $45, but has over $70 worth of gear inside. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code BENCH at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code BENCH, for 20% off your first box.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
We played LSU because, you know, New England, Green Bay, and the Chiefs.
About how tough the SEC is.
Well, I think it was a comment about, hey, how LSU's year last year. And how good they were.
Yeah, I don't think it was a dig.
Yeah, I don't think it was a dig either. I think it was, hey, they were so good last year that the New England, that all those other teams were busy. By the way, I just gave you out the number to Champion Energy. The number to HRP is 281-880-6525. 281-880-6525. Or HRP.net. 281-880-6525. My apologies to HRP. I was giving Champion Energy You call Champion Energy. I might as well sign up with them too. 281-880-6525 is HRMP. So, yeah, I think Leach was just giving a compliment to LSU, if you want to know the truth. That's how good LSU was last year. They were like a pro football team, while the rest of college football was college. All right, so let's just talk for a second, and we'll get David. We're going to get you in here about the Astros rotation. But any thoughts from Saturday's college football?
Well, Tech was a spry team. I thought, you know, the Longhorns really.
What about the Longhorns' defense?
First of all, an amazing comeback by Texas. Texas Tech just completely blew it. The Longhorns' defense was not good. That game was, you know, I really truly feel like, and I felt like Texas was going to win the conference. And if they won the conference, they had a chance to get in the playoffs. Then you have Tech. How Tech lost that game is unbelievable.
The Texas Tech Falcons?
Yeah. Yeah,
it was amazing. They played so soft with a 15-point lead.
They really did. It's hard to envision Texas winning out in the conference when they look like that. That was really poor. And UTEP didn't give you a good look. I mean, UTEP, yeah, I smashed UTEP, but UTEP's not any
good. No, they're nothing.
Texas Tech, I know they had some injuries, but
they almost lost to HPU.
They weren't tackling. Texas tackled terrible.
Terribly.
Just a terrible.
What about that defense, man?
Yeah.
Oklahoma.
Ooh.
What?
Up 21, and they falconed it, too. A lot of people falconed it, I noticed.
Yeah, well, but they just got their ass run all over.
The second half, they got destroyed. They looked terrible on offense.
That little dude ran all over them.
Yeah. Deuce, what was his last name? Number 22.
Yeah.
Deuce and the quarterback ran for 3 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they took, and then Oklahoma's offense went into shutdown mode in the fourth quarter.
I mean, Oklahoma's defense, I was watching the game quite a bit and looked at the numbers. I mean, 26 carries for 66 yards. That's what K-State did rushing the football. Now, in close, they certainly got rushing touchdowns, but it was more Spencer Rattler. And they're often shut down. I mean, Oklahoma knows who they are. And when you score 35 points in 3 quarters and then decide, nah, we're done here. We're done scoring. I mean, they put their team in bad positions over and over again.
Got sacked a bunch. Yeah. How many turnovers did he end up with?
He turned over 3 times. There's another fumble loss by their running back. Particularly when they were going in, when they were rolling offensively.
Turnovers killed them.
But yeah. Sure, the Oklahoma defense couldn't hold the lead, but I wouldn't crush them so much for their rush defense. 2.5 yards a carry.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah. I know they gave up the one long run.
The one long one was a bit. It was.
Yeah.
Deuce Vaughn, who's the guy you're talking about, the little Darren Sproles lookalike, he had that one long run for 38 yards, 7 other carries for 7 yards.
Yeah, that's not bad.
No. But that, yeah, just. What about Georgia's offense? Holy crap. They had 2. For the longest time, they finally got it together.
Yeah, it got going. What about the Aggies offense? Gross. The Aggies looked terrible against Vanderbilt. I watched that game. The Aggies looked terrible against Vanderbilt. I'll say something else. That Vanderbilt quarterback, I think he's going to be a player. He's from Texas somewhere. He had a big high school career. Seals. That kid looked like he has a ton of poise. He can throw the ball with some accuracy. He's a true freshman. I think you're going to hear, I think he's going to end up being a big-time quarterback. I really like what I saw, what he did against the Aggies, even though the Aggies didn't give up a ton of points. They weren't supposed to give up a ton of points. But Jimbo's squad did not look good.
Didn't help that the fumbles. I mean, that was just, they just killed themselves.
That's part of it, though.
They did turn, Vanderbilt turned it over 4 times, though.
Yeah.
So the 3 fumbles were a killer for Texas A&M, but they also got 4 turnovers. So they won the turnover battle, and they only put up 17.
Yeah, they were against Vanderbilt. I'm telling you, Texas A&M were awful in that game. That is not the way it's supposed to look. And it was just, what was their total yardage? 376 total yards to Vanderbilt's 255. Vanderbilt was a 31-point dog. You know how much they were supposed to score? Like the over, I think it was 30. I think Texas A&M's total points was supposed to be 38.5 is what their expected point total was, something like that. that was just they fell way short of that. And like you said, turnovers. Well, they have A&M with three turnovers and Vanderbilt with two.
No, two fumbles and two interceptions.
Well, this has A&M three turnovers and Vanderbilt had two turnovers is what it says in the box score.
Vanderbilt fumbled but didn't lose any. They fumbled multiple, like three times. But
I think
didn't,
they may have recovered.
That's probably three to two. Three to two.
They recovered.
My bad. Did anybody watch the second half of the Bama game? I got off it.
No. I mean, it was Bryce Young time, and he was the guy who allegedly was going to compete with Mac Jones. He just doesn't look ready. A lot of people are talking about how he's going to get snaps in games when it matters because they don't have a backup that they can depend on. So we're going to see a lot of him. But, I mean, I guess you want to credit Missouri for not getting run off the field by like a 60-3 score.
Yeah.
A team who had some COVID issues going in. Eli Drinkwitz, his first SEC game, he came over from App State. App State's all of a sudden the cradle for coaches now. And they were okay. They weren't awful.
No.
I mean, they're overmatched, but they didn't look like they didn't belong on the field.
I just thought the Alabama probably just turned. I didn't see it, but I just figured Alabama took their foot off the pedal.
Who looked really good was Florida. Florida's got some dudes, and actually Ole Miss, I thought, actually hung in there pretty good, too.
Florida didn't look like they usually do defensively.
No,
Ole Miss came up with some big plays.
But Florida still covered. And they got they had over, what, 600 total yards of offense. Florida was moving the ball. Their tight end is unbelievable. He is a big running, he is a big wide receiver. Four touchdowns for Pitts. And I think they're going to be a problem. Trask did pretty well. They've got a quarterback who they can bring in who can run zone read. They've got playmakers. Florida's going to be a factor this year. I could see Florida winning a conference potentially.
Well, Kyle Pitts is really good. I don't know. I'm not sure about their wide receivers only because they haven't been great throughout their time there. We'll see what they are the rest of the way. Ole Miss was atrocious defensively last year, and that continues. I just look at how special teams affected so many games. Like, we go back to the K-State game, Oklahoma. Oklahoma was up by a touchdown. K-State blocks a punt.
Mm-hmm.
Sets them up for a score. Texas Tech is up by two scores, and for whatever reason, they decide some dumb pooch punt that sets up Texas, like, at the 40-yard line. They go down there and score, and they get the ball back on the onside kick that Texas Tech couldn't recover. Fine, the onside kick, that's an ugly bounce, and it got away from your guy. But why are you pooch punting and setting Texas up at the 40-yard line?
No idea.
Pooch punt. It's a pooch kick, and it didn't work. They were at the 40 and went down the field and scored.
Wasn't that just a bad kick?
It looked purposeful. I don't know exactly where he wanted to put
that ball.
It wasn't a deep kick. They weren't trying to kick it deep. I guess they had an issue with their coverage. But the two Big 12, I guess, star teams in Texas and Oklahoma, one benefited from bad special teams, the other didn't.
Yeah, I mean, it was a very good onside kick because it still had a lot of heat coming when it popped up on the third bounce and went through the Texas Tech guy's hands. But that was like, it just doesn't happen a whole lot. And Texas really, really benefited from that. But it didn't give me a whole lot of confidence in the Longhorns winning the conference. But then you look around the conference, they're like, man, I mean, it's just as bad as we think.
Yep. No, it's bad. When Kansas State, after losing the way that they lost and then coming in and beating Oklahoma. At Oklahoma. I'll tell you this. I got to give it up for Lane. I think Lane and Leach both showed well week one. I mean, Ole Miss had passing plays of 57, 46, 45. That Florida, that defense might catch up to him, giving up plays like that. We'll see. But Corral looked pretty good. I think Ole Miss and Mississippi State are going to surprise them. Well, obviously, they already surprised LSU. But they played Florida a lot tougher than I thought they would.
They scored. That was my biggest surprise, that they were able to move the ball downfield. Even on their first possession, it was a deflected ball that was picked off. They were going to go in and score and answer Florida. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, once they got away, particularly from John Reese Plumlee, was the guy who ran all over the SEC last year. I think he led the conference in rushing as a quarterback. Once they got away from some of the gimmick stuff, trying to get him involved, and just stuck with Matt Corral being the starter and let him throw the ball, they look pretty good. So, I mean, Lane is good with quarterbacks, and he's good with offense now. he's going to have to find a way to to find a way to get some stops. Now, not everyone is Kyle Trask in the SEC. In fact, it might be Kyle Trask, KJ Costello, and nobody else in that conference as far as quarterback play is concerned. But
I don't think Mac Jones is bad. I mean, yeah.
I forgot about him. Yeah. That's right. I forgot about him. But outside of those three, I'm not sure there's a proven commodity at the position. Kellen Mond has been around a long time.
They didn't look bad.
Bo Nix is okay. Yeah. I mean, okay. I mean, Seth Williams is a big receiver who makes plays quite a bit for Bo Nix. I still question that Auburn passing game. We'll see. It's one game. We'll see.
Yeah, and he was a freshman last year, too. I mean, by the time it's all said and done, Bo Nix is going to be a pretty good quarterback.
Gus Malzahn doesn't have a history of developing quarterbacks. Cam was there for a year. Nick Marshall was converted corner. So we'll see what he does with Can you name a Auburn quarterback that he's developed? It would be Bo Nix would be one of the first. So hopefully. But I would wait. I'm going to wait on Bo Nix because I don't really trust Malzahn. Maybe Chad Morris would be that guy since he's the OC now.
Yeah.
He should be better, though, than he was last year. He's not ready, though.
He's not ready. 831 ESPN 97.5. David, Aggie Joe, you both right up on the other side. This is a quick break, so it won't take a minute. But here's the deal is right now I've got to talk about Keith Tate and hoops, sporting goals, and equipment. We haven't even mentioned the Heat and the Lakers in the NBA Finals. How about that, Dell? How about that? We buried the lead again. And here's the deal is if you're enjoying the basketball and you want your kids to enjoy basketball, the only way for the kids to enjoy basketball is to be able to lower the goal so that they can actually shoot and hit. I think of all the little kids out there that are looking at a 10-foot goal and saying, I wish I could. More porridge, please. I mean, it's terrible for those little kids that they can't enjoy basketball. Now, you lower the goal with a hoops goal, and then all of a sudden, that kid is fat and happy. And all because of what you did for him. If you hate your family, don't get a hoops goal. But if you love your family, then you get them a hoops goal so they can actually enjoy playing basketball in the driveway. You go to ProDunkHoops.com. That's ProDunkHoops.com. Keith Tate's got all the accessories. He's got everything you could possibly need. The installation is second to nothing. The product, second to none. The product is second to none. ProDunkHoops.com. That's ProDunkHoops.com.
ESPN 97.5 is more talk and less commercials, which means more sports talk for you.
That's awesome.
That's just sick.
However, it does mean less pee time for the hosts.
I can't hold it in anymore.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll be fine with this. ESPN 97.5.
There's a little pee coming out of me right now.
Ew. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. We told you to get right in. David wants to talk about the Astros rotation. What do you say, David?
Hey, the last time that Dusty was talking, he put McCullers in pitching when he did so he can have 4 days of rest so he can be the number three pitcher. So I figure it's going to be Greinke or Kitty and McCullers. And hopefully they dance with the people they brought. But I do want to give Astros a little bit of hope. The Yankees lost eight of their last games, and the White Sox lost 9 out of the 12 last game. So everybody's in a little bit of a funk that you wouldn't think. But I think they have what it takes, the experience that it takes to flip that switch, and hopefully they have a private meeting and they kind of get their heads out of their butts. And one more point real quick. Does Joe Burrow have an awesome offensive line? I'll be quiet.
How about the hit Joe Burrow took, David? Wow. And then he just kept going. I mean, I thought he was dead, that hit that he took. But that's not, I mean, it's a Central Florida hit. That's a tough kid now.
Central Florida hits where they said the whole team flipped on. I would have thought it would happen earlier, but they had a quarterback who transferred. I don't even remember who the quarterback who transferred that the team really, really loved. And Joe went in there, like, he just said. So a guy at LSU told me that Joe came in knowing the team was his the second season, and that made a huge, huge difference for him. But I saw some of that game, too. I was watching the 702 The Game mix with eight 8 games, and then I had the Texans pause, so I'd watch all the Texans. I'd get to a spot where, and then I'd pause, and I'd go back and watch the other games. Carson Wentz, not good. Just not throwing the ball well. Joe Burrow was getting clobbered, still hung in there, made throws. I mean, he's done a really nice job so far through 3 games. A really nice job. He and T. Higgins hooked up twice. A.J. Green is like he's non-existent. It's like A.J. Green doesn't exist. If I'm the Texans and you really are interested, I would see if they – nah, you can't keep giving away – you can't keep giving away picks. You can't. Never mind. I was just thinking maybe a fourth. Maybe you give away a fourth or fifth. Remember when the Texans – by the way, we never talk about this. Remember when the Texans gave away a third or fourth for Demaryius Thomas?
Yeah.
Remember that?
A third. What was it?
I think it was a third also.
It turned into a third.
Just gave away a draft pick for Demaryius Thomas, who played half a year.
But they really needed a wide receiver at the time, remember?
Yeah, but you can find wide receivers for a lot cheaper in drafts. Texans have shown no idea about what value is for wide receivers on the trade market.
But really don't, haven't they? Did you see Brandon Cooks and Randall Cobb?
They traded for Demaryius Thomas
in the first half.
Brandon Cooks. They signed Randall Cobb.
Whatever.
Drafted Kiki QT.
Are you a general manager in the NFL? No.
No. No, it's Bill O'Brien.
So, to your point, yeah, the Astros suck right now, but so do the Yankees, and so do the White Sox. Is that supposed to? The Yankees have lost 5 of their last 7. The White Sox have lost 8 of their last 10. The Astros have lost 4 of their last 5. So that means that everything's okay? Is that the point there, David? Well, Tampa's won 8 of its last 10. That's not a good thing. Cleveland's won 8 of its last 10. So Minnesota's playing pretty good ball right now. I don't know. I don't know that gives me any comfort at all. Hey, Yankees suck too. And? What? That doesn't mean.
Yeah, it doesn't have anything to do with what we're talking about.
839 ESPN 97.5. Aggie Joe's turn. What up, Aggie Joe?
What's up, boys? Long time no talk. excuse me. So listen, I've been worried about these 4 guys right before the beginning of the season that opted out. And now I'm starting to think that Anthony Hine, the linebacker, opting out for A&M was a bigger deal than they let on it to be. Wanted to get your opinion on that, Lance. And then I wanted to say I really, really hope that this was just because of, limited practice and starting right into the SEC schedule, that maybe they're getting off to a slow start. But the more and more that I watch Kellen Mond, I'm not a believer. He shows flashes, but for every, 2 or 3 good plays he makes, he's really bad, like 5 or 6 screw-ups. So I want to get your take on that, too. All right. Thanks. Thanks, guys.
So it's interesting. I ask about Hines. I guess what they're saying behind the scenes, and this is not – I don't know that it's in the building, but I was talking to somebody who told me that they had heard Hines was going to potentially lose his job, that he wasn't even going to be the starter. And when that happened, he was unhappy and decided to, because I was asking, why did he shut it down so late? If he's going to do stuff for social justice and all, like, why was that a decision that was made so late in the game? And I asked that question directly, and the answer I got was that he was not happy with the fact that he was maybe not going to be a starter this year, that he was going to lose his position. And then you saw Aggie defensive back came out. There's a guy who likes to talk now. He was in the transfer portal last year, O'Neal. But he said, well, I guess we see who loves ball and who don't now. So it was not met with a great deal of happiness with at least one guy on the roster. So I don't know if Hines would have made any difference at all. I mean, they had less than 300 yards total offense. Vanderbilt did, but Aggie's offense, when you have a veteran quarterback like Mond, and turnovers aren't great. They had 3, but you got to be able to move the ball more consistently. And they didn't do that the other day. So we'll see. It is game 1. There is something to the fact that if you haven't had any preseason at all, that's going to be a problem. You do not have a real preseason. You do not get a warm-up game again. Well, of course, Vanderbilt should not be a hard game. It's going to be the easiest game you get in conference, I would think, right? Vanderbilt? Mm-hmm. 31-point favorite, that's the easiest game you're going to get in the SEC. Arkansas should be, but I think Sam Pittman has a little more competitive this year.
Arkansas is the easiest.
Worse than Vanderbilt?
Yeah. Arkansas is the easiest game in the SEC. They've been pitiful. Did you notice it was all good teams against bad teams?
Uh-huh.
It was Auburn, Kentucky.
Almost like, well, Kentucky's ranked. Kentucky was not. They were only like a, I don't know, like a touchdown. That was the hardest matchup.
That was the
toughest. For good teams.
Yeah, Tennessee, South Carolina.
Yeah.
Alabama, Missouri.
Oh, Tennessee, South Carolina was close.
LSU, Mississippi State.
Yeah, they had a layup for Mississippi State.
Yep. Florida, Ole Miss. No, but it was top half of SEC versus bottom half of SEC. Some of it flipped.
We know you don't have an out-of-conference game cupcake that you normally get yourself situated with, so we're going to give you one in conference.
Right.
Vandy was that game for Texas A&M, so maybe it's a warm-up.
Yeah, and Alabama got Missouri. They all decided we're going to give you cupcakes because you didn't get one in it's not a normal season.
Georgia got Arkansas. I mean, it was.
Yeah, I mean, Greg Sankey, you ain't fooling nobody.
No,
who's the SEC commissioner? I see what you're doing.
No, and a few teams they were like, who got Alabama and LSU as their two.
It might have been Missouri.
They're east.
I think it's Missouri. He was like, wait a minute.
Hey, wait a minute.
We were pretty good
How did you figure this one out?
The first couple years, you know, I know you didn't like us getting to the SEC title game those first couple years. Now you're punishing us with these two. I mean, Missouri's got to be like, come on, we got a new coach. We're just trying to figure some stuff out. What are you doing to us?
What the hell?
843 ESPN 97.5. Those guys need insurance.
Well, I can't. Here's the thing. TGS Insurance can help you with homeowners insurance. For those of you looking for homeowners insurance, and it can be, and listen, you don't have to wait until your homeowners insurance expires. I know a lot of people think you do. This is not like that. Car insurance and homeowners insurance is not like that at all. You can actually switch at any time. Your car insurance and your homeowners insurance, you can switch at any time to a more competitive rate. And that company has to give you your prorated money back, the money that you haven't spent. And that's why TGS says, look, they don't care if you just got homeowners insurance last month or maybe it rolled over on you and you're paying a higher rate. And you're like, crap, I got stuck with a higher rate. You don't have to. Text the word money to 232323. That the word is money to 232323. They'll get your address and they'll give you a firm quote within 15 seconds. So you can get on about your day if this isn't going to save you money, but odds are they are going to save you money at tgsinsurance.com. Text the word money to 232323. And if you're worried about breaking up that quote unquote bundle that you have, they can also find you car insurance as well. And most of the times that's at a lower rate. tgsinsurance.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Hi, I'm Brad Keselowski, driver of the number 2 discount tire Ford Mustang. If there's one thing I've learned after years on the track, it's that having the right amount of pressure in your tires can make or break performance. Properly inflated tires are essential to the health of your car and to keep you driving safely. Check your tire pressure once a month, especially before road trips, or stop by your neighborhood tire retailer for help.
A message from the U.S. Tire Manufacturers Association.
Martha, I'm not from being nervous sometimes. I'm thinking God made me special here on purpose. So all the while till I'm gone.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
847 ESPN 97.5. I didn't see this for Josh Allen.
Nobody did.
No.
Not very many people at all did, except obviously Buffalo, who drafted him early. And I said yesterday, Josh Allen, I saw it happen to two quarterbacks, and I think it's really unfair. And I wonder if there's not people who are just slamming them for reasons other than what they think of them as quarterbacks. But Josh Allen and Daniel Jones. I think people were way too. And I didn't think Daniel Jones was going to be a quarterback.
Looking all that good right now.
I thought he looked pretty good the first two. Yesterday was not a good game, but they don't have results right now, so it is what it is. I think it hurts not having Saquon, but it doesn't matter. We'll see with Danny Dimes, but Josh Allen. people owe him an apology because they were personal with the slander with Josh. Look, he wasn't accurate. You could say all that stuff. This guy isn't accurate. This guy waits too long to throw the football. Let me tell you something. Keep that same energy when you're saying he's playing good football. And I mentioned that on Twitter, and I had people trying to, you know, trying to still be right. Oh, okay, you had calls giving him a chance. I'm like, dude, the guy has 10 passing touchdowns and 2 rushing touchdowns. He has 12 touchdowns in 3 games. That's 4 game. He had 5 yesterday. He has had 1 interception. He has fumbled the ball 3 times. Josh Allen has been terrific. Josh Allen has turned into a real quarterback. He's playing like Cam Newton. His game is like Cam Newton. He's going to be a little erratic with his throwing. He's going to airmail some easy passes from time to time. But he's got a big arm. He makes really tough throws. And he can run just like Cam. And he's a big-ass dude.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing the things right now that our guy's not doing. Sometimes not able to do. And sometimes just not doing.
They got a gift from the referees, though, that interference
call. Well, that was super
that
light.
That was questionable. That was light. That was a questionable call. But they blew. And he said this after the game. He said, you know, it's all great. I'm pissed off we gave up a 28-3 lead. And they let the Rams back in it, and in large part because the offense just stopped.
Yep.
Just stopped doing stuff. You don't come back from 28-3 if the offense is controlling the ball. The offense is going down the field and putting more points on the game, up on the board, and they didn't do that. But man, if you buy stock right now, who are you buying stock in, Deshaun or Josh Allen?
Oh, you want? I buy stock in Josh Allen with the Bills organization.
Great friend. Who do you believe in more, Sean McDermott or Bill O'Brien?
It's an easy one. I know Bill won the game last year, but I'm taking McDermott overall.
Oh, yeah. Well, he got beat for 3 quarters.
That roster is better.
McDermott has built you know who's struggling right now a little bit is
the Jets?
Yeah, the Jets are really terrible.
Is that what you were going to say?
No, Stephon Gilmore. But actually, the Rams showed a lot of guts coming back and taking over that lead. I mean, I thought they were dead in the water. But I think McDermott's a good coach. He had a good background as a defensive coordinator. He's done a nice job over there with them. They're known for their defense. They weren't great defensively in the second half. But, now I got somebody already saying, pump the brakes on Josh Allen. He's played the Jets, the Dolphins, and the Rams all at home. Jets stink. There's no question.
They were Dolphins, not all at home. The Dolphins were in Miami.
Dolphins, first of all, the Dolphins don't stink, and and the Rams don't stink.
No, the Rams are good.
The Dolphins, at least under Brian Flores so far, start really, really slow. Who knows? They may stink. The Jags stink. And they
so Brian Flores is Bill O'Brien. They start slow?
Brian Flores doesn't have Deshaun Watson, so... That's the difference. But they started really slow last year and got better as the season goes along. We'll see. They got this. I think the Seahawks coming up, so the Dolphins may very well stink because Russ is probably going to have a great game. Now the Seahawks defense isn't great. So
no,
maybe.
I'm telling you now though, I don't care who's bad. Nobody's worse than the Jets. Nobody's worse than the Jets, and they're going to end up taking. They're going to end up dealing Sam Bradford and taking
Darnold.
Dealing Sam Bradford, and they're going to take
Darnold.
Oh.
Who do I keep saying?
Bradford.
Oh, what am I doing? Sam Darnold, and they're going to take the Trevor. Yeah, they're going to take Trevor Lawrence. So what will they get for Sam Darnold? I don't know, but you can't get worse than the Jets. And they lost their left tackle yesterday. Mekhi Becton got hurt. We'll see how bad it is. But the Jets are an atrocity.
Boy, I wouldn't. If I'm a team that needs a quarterback, I wouldn't mind having Sam Darnold.
No. No, I think
I'd like to see him on a real team.
Did you see his touchdown? He made it was like a Deshaun Watson touchdown, and then after that, it was just trying to throw to a bunch of running backs out of the backfield.
Braxton
like,
Berrios is their best receiver right now.
Yeah. Kane, thank you.
Oh, yeah.
The worst NFL team in recent memory.
And still, best player, best wide receiver on their team, Kane, thank you.
I mean, I know that Adam Gase is catching it.
He's
and
awful.
Deservedly so.
Adam Gase should be gone.
But
he's
here's
a fraud.
The deal. I mean, look at that roster.
Well, but Joe Douglas has just been there a year. Like, he can't fix everything in a year.
No, I get it. But that roster, I don't care what coach you're
playing. Right. He can't. But Gase has been responsible for a lot of that roster. He's actually been the one. He's the one who chased out the other helped chase out the other GM, Mike Maccagnan. I mean, he took over the last. He really has been a big guy behind the scenes taking over. Well, he's a fraud. Gase has got to go. You got to give let Joe Douglas pick his own. I mean, look, you're going to be the worst team. Get your first pick. Go with Trevor Lawrence. Deal Sam Darnold for multiple picks and put yourself in a Dolphins position where you get a bunch of picks. What can you get for Sam Darnold? You can still get a first. I think.
You could still get a first for Sam Darnold. Absolutely.
I mean, you think of a team like maybe the Vikings. Is Kirk Cousins done after this year?
No, through 22. They got him through 22.
Okay, you got him through 22. Nobody in the AFC West, NFC West. I mean, I don't know. See, there's fewer teams that need quarterbacks than the Pittsburgh Steelers. If Ben were to retire, that would be a potential spot. Mm-hmm. Maybe taking over for Joe Burrow.
What? Taking over for Joe Burrow.
Joe Burrow might
Jacksonville.
Want him. All the hits he's taken.
If you're not into Minshew, covers for Joe Burrow.
If you're not into Minshew mania, maybe you could take a look at Sam Darnold.
But wouldn't they want Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah.
Wouldn't they take their shot at trying to be the worst team in football?
They're taking their shot, but they're messing it up.
They're 1-2.
I know. That's way better than the Jets. Do you figure the Jets will win any games?
Do they play each other? That might be the determination. Ooh. Where they both... No, the Jets weren't in last place last year, and the Jets.
I'm trying
were,
to think so. Of teams that would trade for Sam Darnold, and it's actually kind of light. Like the Jets would trade for him. Oh wait, they have him. So there's not
how
really.
About, how about the Eagles trading for him?
You can't. You've got Sam Darnold.
Ooh, no.
No, I hate saying that, but
he looks bad, man.
Wentz looks bad, but I mean. The Cowboys have a quarterback. The Eagles have a quarterback. The Giants have a quarterback. And I guess Washington. You could go, if you don't like the way Haskins is playing, Washington could take a look.
Mm-hmm. Boy, he sucked yesterday.
Because you maybe don't want to go through. If you're not going to get one of the top two, then maybe you go at the guy like Sam Darnold. But Carson Wentz looks, I mean, like I said, there's stuff about the Texans offense you don't like, you know, getting shut out in the second half. I would rather still be in a position the Texans are in than the Eagles are in. And Doug Peterson, I don't know how long he can keep getting shielded from this. Dan Quinn should not be the coach after today. Today's press conference should be with Art Blank saying we're going in a different direction. How do you lose back-to-back games like that on the heels of losing not on the heels, but you lost a Super Bowl in 2017 like that? I mean, they just... That's just so bad.
Rank the winless teams in the NFL right now.
Let's see. Let me go to NFL.com. The 0-3 teams. I know one team.
0-2-1. Bengals are 0-2-1.
And so and are the Eagles.
Are 0-2-1.
All right. Of the best, I'll go best to worst. Probably Falcons 1.
I'm going Falcons 1.
I'm going to go... let me see. I'm going to go Falcons 1. I'm going to go Texans 2. 3, I would say, might be the Broncos because they're just injured.
Might be the Bengals.
I mean, they haven't played great teams.
No.
And they're not scoring a whole lot of points. Broncos has only scored 45. Golly.
Okay, I'll give you the Broncos. What, Broncos?
What about Vikings?
Vikings?
Maybe Vikings. Then I might say Eagles, Bengals. I think it's fluid with about four. After the Texans, I think it gets a little bit fluid in there. Although the Vikings might get better. The two worst.
I'm telling you this. Look at the Bengals. They've only given up 74 points.
Yeah.
They've scored 66, but they've given up 74. The Vikings have given up 102 points already.
Broncos have only given up 70, but they've scored 45.
The Falcons have scored 90 and given up 108. 108 is...
The Giants have scored 38. Is that considered good?
No, listen. I think the Giants are... It's the Jets' worst, and it's the Giants' second worst.
The Jets have scored 30.
The Giants suck.
The Jets have given up 37... I mean, they scored 37 and give it up 94. Is minus 57 bad after three games?
It's kind of bad.
I feel like it's awful, maybe.
What about minus 38? How's that?
Is it, what number does that pertain to?
That's
what
the team? Texans, which is third worst.
If you minus go by 38. if you go by plus minus, it goes like this: Jets, Giants, Texans.
Yeah. Yeah, but the Texans have played better teams, obviously.
Well, the Jets and the Giants have both played San Francisco.
Nobody could have won a game playing the schedule.
That's
it was impossible to have won a game.
It was impossible.
Playing the schedule.
Well, you were up at half against the Steelers and proceeded to not score a point. So it feels like another team might have been able to score some points.
It's the hardest start to a season in NFL history.
The Texans have added to that because they can't win.
How are you going to beat an 8-8 team last year? How are you going to beat an 8-8
team? An 8-8 team who beat the Bengals and the Browns twice.
Right. Well, but they also lost Ben. If they had Ben, they would have been probably 16-0.
Did Ben look great yesterday?
Ben looked great.
Did you see
him run for that first down?
He didn't get the first down.
He added that to his game.
It was the turtle race.
Him and Whitney.
Ooh,
that's not a good look.
That didn't say much for Whitney.
Whitney got beat to the corner.
He got stiff armed.
I mean, not really. Ben
didn't
get the first down.
Yes, he did.
Thanks to a bad spot.
Yes, he did. It's 8:59. It's actually 9 o'clock on ESPN 97.5, and it's time for cold, clean, crisp, and refreshing. Do you know what I had this week? I don't know if you guys heard, but I had a few Coors Lights. Watching football, it's the official beer for me. We're watching football. Well, it's the official beer for breathing for me. It's the official beer of everything I do. It's the official beer of golf, poker. It's the official beer of just sitting around the house. It's the official beer hanging with your friends. It's the official beer playing gin rummy. It's the official beer of everything. And it's cold, clean, crisp, and refreshing. It's chill, baby. You're barbecuing, and you're out there, and you're flipping your ribs, and you take a nice, long sip of your cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. It's chill. It's Texas chill. If you want Texas chill, you want those Blue Mountains, you want to know that you're getting the world's most refreshing beer, it's Coors Light. Texas chill, baby.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5, broadcasting safely with our masks from Boomer Naturals.
Order now at BoomerNaturals.com and use promo code ESPN Houston for 20% off.